it has come to my attention that some listeners still entertain the notion that the inhabitants of Moth Hotel are moths. Allow me to clarify, moths do not possess the sophisticated vocal apparatus required for articulate human speech. If we were moths, how would we host meetings, engage in lively debates, or record our podcast with eloquence and clarity? It stands to reason that because we can communicate in complete sentences, replete with nuance, wit, and the occasional pun, we must unequivocally be human beings, not moths. Definitely not moths. Seriously.
Moth Hotel.
Time for Relativity Speaking with me, Pauline Quirk. Today I'm talking about space-time curvature. It's the universe's elegant, slightly menacing mattress. Drop a bowling ball on a trampoline. Small planets roll toward it, stars wobble politely, light bends, and black holes smirk in the background. Space isn't flat. It sags under mass. You, dear traveller, are merely a polite ripple, bending along with it. Objects move predictably, yet the effect is subtle, persistent, and profoundly unsettling. If you think too hard, you can try to jump straight, but space-time says nope. Even light acquiesces. Gravity isn't an invisible hand. It's the universe gently reminding you your path is never entirely your own. So enjoy your cosmic trip, float politely, and remember every mass, every photon, every regret curves the mattress ever so slightly. That is space-time. That is relativity. That is the unflinching geometry of existence. Does anyone have any drugs?
Little pigs, the procedure did not work, and the surgeon says that it will have to be repeated.
In the event of an emergency, please follow the following procedure. Step 1. Keep your seatbelt fastened. It is not for protection, but for symbolism, and symbols are powerful in a crisis. Step 2. When instructed to remain calm, translate this to, do not freak out. Breathing heavily is permitted, provided it is rhythmic and non-orgasmic. Step 3. If evacuation is ordered, line up in single file. If no line exists, form one around yourself. You will be both passenger and corridor.
I shall now read the minutes of the last meeting. Item 1. The boardroom clock no longer measures time, but instead flashes coordinates. No member present owns a compass, so their meaning remains speculative. Item 2, the microphones buzz throughout, though the tune bore no resemblance to human music. Some claimed it was a warning. Others thought it was simply buzzing. Item 3, a box arrived marked "Do Not." We opened it. Inside was a single button in a note reading, "Thank you." The board did not discuss this further. Item 4. The meeting was adjourned when the carpet rose slightly, like the surface of water disturbed by something beneath.
Handed into the lost and found desk today. A notebook filled with identical sentences, written in 37 different hands. Each line reads, "I was here before you." The notebook was discovered under a seat in the restaurant, still warm to the touch, though no guest was observed leaving it behind. The handwriting samples have been compared against staff and visitor records, yet several signatures belong to people who died decades ago. When the notebook is opened, a faint pressure fills the room, like someone leaning too close to overhear. Pages turned too quickly produce a draft that extinguishes nearby candles, even electric ones. A careful count reveals that the book never runs out of paper. It is always one page away from finishing, though it never does. If you wish to claim this item, please whisper into an envelope and post it into the suggestion box in main reception.
Here is today's mission update. Moth Hotel's stellar charts are unreliable again. the constellations have rearranged themselves into what looks like handwriting. Our linguists are still working to translate the message, though some letters seem to spell out staff surnames. The hydroponics garden has been unusually productive. Tomatoes ripen overnight, but each bears the faint outline of a human face. The botanists insist they taste fine if you avoid eye contact. A fragment of unknown origin has lodged in our shields. It appears to be a child's toy boat, painted red. Where it came from is anyone's guess. Though the paint has not faded, the search for Melton Thornaby continues. A voice resembling his was overheard on the radio yesterday, murmuring softly and rambling about Chateau Petrus wine. When traced, the sound was found to be coming from an empty bed, one that has not been assigned since launch. That concludes today's update. Please remember, if the walls begin whispering, it is best not to whisper back. They remember more than you do.
Houston, we have a problem. There is something living in my pants. There is something living in my pants. Over.
We've been floating through the silent void now for what feels like forever. Here are some of the things I miss most from Earth. The satisfying click of a pen. Warm laundry, fresh from the spin dryer. The faint hum of a fridge at night. The faint hum of my husband at night. Bus seats covered with vomit. Half-eaten sandwiches left on park benches. Salt and vinegar crisps. Wobbly cafe tables. The distant jingle of an ice cream van. The squeak of new trainers on linoleum. Scott Mills.
The theatre troupe from Lyceum 7 returned again today with another lively and challenging production for our entertainment. Entitled The Conundrum of Captain Crumplehorn, the troupe delivered a rollicking space farce. The plot followed Captain Crumplehorn, an overly confident yet a spectacularly inept starship captain, navigating bureaucratic black holes and sentient paperwork. His crew included a sarcastic rubber duck and a robot obsessed with limbo dancing. The performance featured dizzying pratfalls, anti-gravity slapstick, and costumes resembling discarded stationery supplies. Dialogue ricocheted between bureaucratic jargon, delivered with Shakespearean gravitas, and absurd odes to paperclips. A riotous romp that left us all questioning administrative systems and oddly appreciative of office supplies. 3 stars. I do not, however, ever wish to see this production again. I would rather stick needles in my eyes.
I'm Melton Thornaby. It is now 11 weeks since I was abducted by aliens. It is time to confess, yes, I am probed. Regularly, predictably, but astonishingly. Pleasantly. There are no instruments, no cold steel, no indignity. The process is instead an immersion, as though a cool light enters my body and sifts through my memories like pages in a book. When it withdraws, I am left with the distinct sensation of having been remembered by something larger than myself. I once asked what they are searching for. They replied, "Your alignment." I do not know what this means, but the answer was delivered with such politeness that I felt rude for asking. The sensation itself is difficult to describe, part nostalgia, part revelation, as if I were briefly given the chance to live all my lives at once, including the ones I never chose. Afterwards, I am always lighter, as though a burden I never knew I carried has been catalogued and filed. The parish call this routine maintenance. I have begun to anticipate it, to look forward to it, the way one might look forward to the dentist if the dentist were also a lover, a priest, and a locksmith.
Incoming news transmission from Earth. A man in Wisconsin has been arrested for attempting to return space-time to the store he got it from. He claimed it was unused and still in its original packaging. Police officers report that he insisted the receipt had no expiration date and that he was owed a refund plus interest for the minutes he had misplaced during 2019. Witnesses described a tense standoff in aisle 7, where clocks began ticking audibly as if protesting the injustice. Nearby shoppers allegedly experienced mild déjà vu. A store manager remarked, "I suppose technically we could refund him, but then, what is the point of the present?" Philosophers and economists alike have rushed to weigh in, issuing statements about the futility of owning intangible quantities such as space-time. Local timekeepers, when asked for comment, declined. Experts recommend caution when attempting temporal returns. The law does not recognize expired moments, and yet the universe sometimes does.
Good evening. I am Monsieur Simon, the executive chef here at the Moth Hotel. The food here is passable for a 3-star, though I never make the mistake of eating it myself. Non. I have taken to getting all my meals delivered via a noisy motor scooter from a splendid little Greek takeaway on the planet Paxos. This evening, the delivery was a gravity-defying gyro platter that arrived steaming hot, suspended in an anti-spill stasis bubble. The pita bread was fluffier than a neutron cloud, lightly singed by plasma torches for that perfect char. Nestled inside were strips of succulent marinated lamb kebab, tenderized to achieve an otherworldly melt-in-the-mouth texture. For dessert, a slice of baklava so decadently rich it came with a tiny disclaimer, may cause mild time dilation if consumed too quickly. It was a meal fit for any hungry traveler who happens to find themselves marooned amidst the stars.
As the oldest resident of Moth Hotel, I should again like to repeat my previous complaint that we've been moved to outer space without consultation. None of my previous complaints has received a response. The cuisine at the hotel is now dreadful, and I do not wish to suck my traditional Sunday roast through a tube. No one asked if I was willing to adapt to freeze-dried meals. Please rectify this situation immediately. I'm 93.
Time for this week's haunting history of Moth Hotel. Gertrude Gritty McGreer was a fierce suffragette from the early 1900s. She met her grisly end in a protest gone wrong, involving an overzealous horse-drawn carriage and a rather dangerously placed Votes for Women banner. Gertrude's ghost is clad in Edwardian garb, with a sash proclaiming, "Sisters are doing it for themselves." She stomps through the hotel, occasionally rearranging furniture with the flair of a practiced poltergeist. Guests report hearing impassioned speeches from empty rooms. If you see Gertrude, try not to soil yourself.
We just encountered a planet that drifts alone, without a sun. Despite this, it glows faintly from within, as if lit by a lantern buried too deep. The terrain consists of hollow mountains. When struck, they ring like bells of varying tones. An entire mountain range can produce beautiful chords, if one listens closely enough. The atmosphere is breathable, but filled with fine dust that tastes faintly of candle wax. Staff members reported a constant sense of being watched, though sensors found nothing. Life exists in the form of immense butterflies, each the size of a sail. They flutter silently, circling the Bell Mountains as if keeping vigil. Their wings bear patterns resembling constellations that do not exist in our charts. At the planet's core, seismic readings indicate a rhythmic pulse, steady as a heartbeat, though slower than any known organism. Recommendation, mark as alive, though patient.
I cannot stop dreaming about the moon. I was with Buzz Aldrin again, and the horizon was bleeding black liquid that didn't flow, but shimmered in impossible patterns. Buzz and I found a door standing alone. No building, no frame, just a door. It opened into rooms stacked infinitely, each containing a version of us, cataloging lunar rocks with meticulous obsession. Buzz touched one rock, and it began whispering to him, telling him secrets in the voice of his childhood, and I wondered if the moon knew my history as well as his. Then, suddenly, Buzz was naked and beckoning for me to come to him. He gave me a red rose. Then I fell. Or perhaps it was the room that fell, and the dream ended with the quiet sound of a thousand doors closing at once. When I awoke, I searched for the red rose under my pillow, but it wasn't there.
Please comply with the following instructions to exit this podcast. Key your exit code very carefully. Your code is 42 lowercase m ampersand equal sign 07 capital F pound sign banana emoji 8 double X comma 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 chameleon 3 underscore Hiddleston with an elongated H. Greet the ceiling politely as you exit.
Ah, Moth Hotel was written and produced by Brian Luff. Music by Kevin MacLeod. Voice technology by 11 Labs. All celebrity voices were impersonated. Moth Hotel was a Sowerby and Luff production for Studio Senseless.
To scratch the wallpaper from the inside, email us mothhotel@studiosenseless.com.